April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
This episode of BGN Radio is brought to you by Clip It, the hottest app that is out there. Watch TV, make clips, and share. For more information, check them out at clipit.tv or check them on Twitter at clipit.tv. This episode is also brought to you by fightingforphilly.com. You bleed Philadelphia, so wear Philadelphia. Use the promo code BGNR20 to take 20% off of your order. Hats, t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Check them out at Fightin' for Philly. That's FIGHTINFORPhilly.com.
You're listening to BGN Radio.
I think we're open to trading up. I think we're open to trading down if it was compelling, because we do like being in the top 10. That's why we moved up in the first place. At the same time, we're very ready to pick an 8.
You have made it along with us to episode number 159, and we are ever so close to the draft, which means we are very close to the draft party itself. I tell you right now, it is Monday night as we're recording this. I've got some good news from our friends at the ATLS Apparel. They have extended the deadline. It was supposed to end on Monday, today at noon, and they're going to extend that to Thursday now, Thursday at 2 p.m. So if you missed out on our awesome BGN Philly influencer t-shirts for the draft party, you can still get them, and we'll have the link here and also in SoundCloud and everywhere else. Plus, we also want to welcome our new sponsor, fightingforphilly.com. That's fighting for, F-O-R. The fighting part doesn't have the G, so fightingforphilly.com. They also have everything. Their 4-for-4 store, all the apparel. They've got hats, they got t-shirts, they probably have underpants at some point, but definitely go check them out if you're listening to this anywhere out there in the internet waves. All you have to do at the end of your order, BGNR20, the promo code, 20% off any of the stuff that is going on there, just like we said at the beginning of the promo there. So welcome aboard the Fighting for Philly crew. They're awesome. Follow them on Twitter at Fighting for Philly as well. And let's get right into it, gentlemen, as we welcome back the same crew keeps coming back. And then we welcome Mr. James Seltzer from 97.5 The Fanatic. James, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
John, it wouldn't be a true BGN introduction if you didn't mention underpants or diapers or something along those lines. So
yeah, it's true.
I feel good.
It's true.
I'm excited about the party, man. We're about to get party. Get wild.
I'm very jazzed. Me and Sean are going to, Sean Brace, of course, from Philly Influencer. We're going to go over all the gadgets and making sure we can actually do a live broadcast and, you know, get ready. And, oh, by the way, before I introduce the handsome Matt Daring, this just happened. So $3 Bud Lights all night.
Woo!
That's from Nick's Roast Beef on the Northeast. So, again, 2010 Cottman Avenue in the Northeast. That's where we're going to be Thursday night, 7 p.m. Get there early, too, if you want to be. I mean, I think me and BLG are going to be there at 11 a.m., and I'm going to start drinking around 3 just to get it all amped up. So,
oh, I'm going to start drinking at 11 a.m. I thought that was...
Yeah.
No? Yes?
Yeah, absolutely. 11 a.m. is totally acceptable, and if you want to be there at 11 a.m., spend all day, all night, we can do that, too. If you've got the nerves like my next friend and co-host and cohort... who is preparing a VIP list of guests as we speak right now that we'll have on the twitter.com over at BGNR or BGN underscore radio. Mr. Matt Daring, what's happening, pal?
I cannot wait. Just got confirmation that LeBron James might be coming. So
the list is growing and growing and growing. So Judd Apatow, I hear, is possibly considering it. Lady Gaga might be confirming any day now. So we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, the guy from the Harris potato chip commercials, but not the Harris.
Plus,
guy.
John, I heard Steve Mason will be there because he will be free that day. Too soon?
Yes. No, not too soon. As Flyers have gone down 3-0 in the series for that. So again, you know, win it for Ed, my ass is basically what's happening here. But we're very excited for the draft party. More importantly, we are very excited that the Eagles have finally found some competition at the punter position, baby. Welcome. Former Jets, is that right? Former Jets punter, Mr. Ryan Quigley has been signed by the Eagles. Kind of a throwaway move considering everything else that was going on here. I'm not going to have any punter takes on this show, but I figured that was worth a mention. More importantly, two things that we're going to go over. The schedule came out. I don't think we really want to do a win-loss thing. It came out even earlier than last year. I know everybody kind of does the win-loss, but I think it's important to kind of go through it, see where we think there's going to be some tough stretches and why again and again this draft is very important, especially in the first round here. But James, Doug and Howie had their press conference today. They made themselves available. They kind of do this every year, the week before the draft, or It's lying season. There were some good questions that were asked here and there. Did you take anything away from it?
Yeah, I actually thought Doug was a little bit more forthcoming than maybe how he wanted him to be. It seemed like Doug was willing to get loose on a few of the topics. I thought, and I'm a noted not a fan of Howie, we all know, but I thought that Howie handled himself well as far as it goes. I thought he did a good job in terms of, being 10 days out from a draft and kind of putting his cards out there without putting him out there. I thought Howie actually did a good job and I thought he answered the questions well. I think we just continually see, I think the biggest takeaway is Peterson is just not a guy who's going to be good in front of the media. I mean, over and yeah. over and over. I mean, what else can you take away from this guy? He's terrible. I mean, and today might have been his best performance in front of the media and that's saying something. So, I didn't take too much away. I thought some of the answers on how he viewed the quarterbacks was kind of interesting. I thought he was a little bit looser with, kind of diagramming all the Carson Wentz stuff and all that. I thought maybe he, maybe put a little bit more out there than the Eagles would like in general. But, I think it's hard to take too much away. I think that, clearly I think Howie was very measured in what he said and didn't really give anything away. So I don't think we got any real deeper insight on who they're going to draft, what position they're going to target. I do think, though, just reading through it all, obviously the Fletcher Cox stuff, I think that, again, I don't think we can take anything that Howie says, without a grain of salt, as it were. But if I had to guess from what I heard today, my guess is that they're going to stay at 8 and they're going to take the best player on the board.
Yeah, and Matt's favorite thing ever, because they finally, somebody asked him, I can't remember who, but to see if Ronnie Stanley can be Guardy McBeef, and with open arms, I think Doug had answered he's versatile enough to play guard, which,
quote-unquote, he said, I think he can. He said, I think he can.
No, I do. I just think offensive linemen, it's just... you can't have enough of them.
The little engine that could play guard.
Which, again, I think Ben's on this train, too. He definitely cannot, and he probably can't even really play tackle at the NFL level. But, yeah, Matt, I mean, anything that you kind of took away from the press conference at all?
Yeah, I guess, they had a couple of things. They had a little moment where they were both like, yeah, we'd love Tunsil. And then they, what was the other thing? Oh, right, Howie was just very much like that's as close to a no as you're going to get when they asked if they were thinking about trading down. And, he was basically like, no. And so I think he said
he has to be a very, very compelling offer and emphasize very.
Very compelling. Like we're talking like not like Dear John compelling, but like the note. I for all you sports fans out there. So, I think that this is my go-to analogy from now on. I'm going to use this personally and professionally.
Nicholas Sparks would be proud.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that, I mean, that to me was the big takeaway. And that's good. That's sort of what I want to hear, which is why I liked it so much, is that they are not planning on trading down, and I don't think they should. So that to me was probably my biggest takeaway. I'm trying to think if they really covered anything else. I don't even think they really addressed, like, you know, what positions do you think are strong or not? I mean, can you remember anything like that? And those are usually like some generalities that they're comfortable speaking in. But I don't think they really talked about it, covered it this time around. So yeah, I thought it was, all in all, nothing really to it. Doug's sort of like a big doofus, isn't he? yes. And doesn't seem like they're trading down. So there you go.
It's
well,
first of all, James, am I the only one that thought when Matt was referencing Dear John that I thought the Judd Hirsch show, like in the 80s?
Of course. That was exactly okay. What I mean. Okay.
My parents
watched what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And the beauty
of 28 years old. What the hell are you talking about?
You don't
about?
Remember, well, Dear John? Dear John was on NBC for like 5 or 7, a good amount of time.
Yeah, it was on for a while.
Anyway,
but the thing is the reason Matt did that was because it was a tease for later in the show when we announced that Nicholas Sparks will be attending the party as well.
That's true. Damn it, James. That's not a teaser. That's just giving away information.
I know. That's on me. My bad. But one thing, a point Matt was making there about how they didn't really kind of emphasize that any position was particularly strong. There was one quote, again, that kind of leads to me thinking, again, what Matt said, that how he's not trading back nor going to give up a lot to trade up was he did say at one point where he said that we're fortunate to not have any gaping holes on the team, which, you know, you could argue with, but that's the way he phrased it, saying and essentially saying that because of that, they're not forced to reach anywhere on a particular position. So, you know, that's what you want to hear. Who knows if it's true or not, but you know, as far as it goes, I think that was the closest we got to a you know, we're okay at certain positions type of comment.
I think I would agree with that. I know I've heard a lot of kind of a bunch of different statements in the past week from a bunch of different people where they're saying like, yeah, mediocre. Sure, it's a mediocre team, but I don't think there's, at least at this point, but I don't see any humongous holes like, oh my God, you have to draft this because they, you know, supposedly to, well, that's putting a lot of faith in the free agency signings too, but going into this, I don't think they have any gaping holes. Do you, Matt?
Yeah, I do.
Where at?
Well, I'll tell you. We're having fun tonight. Running back.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Yeah.
That was a good
well,
call.
There you go. Running yeah. Back. Okay.
I think running back, to me, I sort of look at that and I'm like, lahool. And, I, you know, I understand that the plan is to fill it in the draft at some point and probably try to work that guy in early and often and probably double dip while we're at it. And then after, you know, even then supplement it with some of the guys who are still on the street. But I think that when I look at the running back group, I'm just like, oh, boy, like it's Ryan Matthews, who, you know, as good as he can be and is like, yeah, if he's healthy as it is, like that's a legit injury concern. And he got hurt last year. You know, he played through it sometimes. You know, he's been hurt like a lot. He's just a very injured guy. And I don't blame him. He has a tough job. But, you know, then it's Darren Sproles and then it's Kenyon Barner. Like that to me is not like an acceptable group. We're not just talking about like depth here. We're talking about like who's the starter, you know, is Ryan Matthews really going to be running 25 times a game? Like, yeah, for 3 games. But after that, like, I'm not really sure what's going on there. So I think that if I had to guess, I would say that the biggest hole in the roster, it's not backup center. All right. I just want to get that out there. It's not,
not in a backup center.
It's not who's going to play right tackle in 2 years. The biggest hole in this roster right now is running back.
All roads lead to Zeke. That's why we can have these conversations, and we have, and we will continue to do for the next week. But that's how I feel about it now. I mean, like we're BLG and Ben were kind of on that train, like at 13, and I think it took me about a week and a half to kind of come around to it. But yeah, I mean, like that is after everything's all the dust has settled. That's still the one for me. And you know, I don't understand. And Bob Gross, and God bless him. This is the other thing that I don't understand with Cox, and then I'll give my viewpoints on some of the press conference here. But why does this keep coming up? Like the Gross today said, don't be surprised if the Eagles trade Fletcher Cox to move up in the draft. But we'll player won't attend minicamp. What on earth? Why again? Why would you want to trade the best player on your team for an okay quarterback? It doesn't add up to me, and I don't understand why people try and I don't know keep. They keep trying to flame this, put some gasoline on this thing. And Is it, you make it, is that making you worried at all, James, that that might actually happen? We're all going to be sitting there enjoying ourselves, drinking beers, enjoying meeting everybody at the draft party, and then all of a sudden they announce that there's a trade that has been made with San Diego or whoever it might be. And it's Fletcher Cox, like a first rounder and whatever, to move up to there.
Yeah, I know. I really don't, though. Like, it would floor me if that happened. It would be about as shocking as anything since, I don't know, Chip Kelly got fired before the last game of the season. You know, it really would be a real shock. I think that Cox is in their long term plans. And even if he weren't, I don't think that they would trade him to move up in this draft, in this particular draft, at that particular spot. And look, one thing you said does have to be kind of dissected there, in the sense that we might not think that Goff or Wentz or whoever is a franchise quarterback. All that really matters is whether Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman think he is or they are. But again, I still don't think, and I said this on the last podcast, I think that with everything they've done this offseason, every move that Howie has made, it would just feel very antithetical to what they've done and what the seeming, you know, we don't know if they really have a plan, but if you could infer from the moves what the quote unquote plan would be, you know, giving away a bunch of draft picks or an asset like Fletcher Cox to move up a few spots to get a Wentz or Goff doesn't really jive with everything we've seen. So yeah, I mean, look, is it possible? Sure, anything's possible, but I'd be really surprised if it went down that way.
Yeah, and we don't have to keep continuing that. It's weird that it just kind of, even after we talked about it last week, there's these things that just kind of float up into there.
Keep coming up. Yeah, it's weird, John. It's really weird. You shouldn't hear your best player being mentioned so consistently in these types of things. You know?
And I'm trying to, and Matt, I'm even just trying to think, I was like, okay, what if this came from the front office and this is like a negotiating tactic? But you're a week away from the draft. It's not like they're going to end up trading you after it. I don't know. What do you have? Has that changed your mind at all? Do you think that's a possibility now?
No, I mean,
I just don't when know where they said, this comes from then.
I have no idea. I mean, who knows? But there was nothing glib. Like, there was a very earnest response when they said he's in our long-term plans. There was no, like, but we'll see, you know? Or, like, who knows? Like, right now he's an Eagle. There's nothing like that. Nothing whatsoever. There was no, he's our starting defensive tackle for the next 1,000 years. It seemed like it was a very earnest, straightforward, like, yes, he will be on this team. And you know, I think that, like, once again, I think that, you know, maybe I'm just being a credulous idiot, but, like, to me, it seems like that's a no-brainer, that he is absolutely not going anywhere. You know, there was no hedging whatsoever. This was just, like, either they straight up just lied without, like, any sort of anything, and then they'll just have to pull, well, things change later, or, you know, they're telling the truth. But I just feel like, well, it doesn't seem like Doug would be a very good liar, so I'm going to go with that.
That's been true and
that
true.
That sucks.
And that's why all those rumors about whatever, him banging his secretary or whatever was going on, that's why it's like it's virtually impossible for that, you know, to be true or whatever. So
one great thing from as a sports radio producer, Doug saying I like to put my hands on them today was gold for Dropland.
Well, there you go. Bam. Perfect. Yeah, so just to put a bow on the press conferencing, and you know, it's weird that Howie kind of says all this stuff, and yet this is the other thing that I keep seeing, especially in the BGN comments, and maybe I need to stop reading the comments. Why the hell? People are still in favor of trading back. Like, and it amazes me how in the past, like, couple of weeks, it's gone from, like, you can't draft Zeke to, oh my God, what if Dallas drafts him? To, at that point, just trade back and go get Lynch in an offensive line. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like, guys, it's a top 10 pick. Like, you don't trade out of a top 10 pick. That's what's kind of keeps circulating too. The second thing that we actually haven't talked about yet, which made huge news, is that the fact that the Rams had traded up with Tennessee for a big price, which again is, you know, it's still kind of, how can they get that deal at 15 and the Eagles can at 20? It still blows my mind. I'm still upset about it. But I think that changes somewhat of the dynamic of the draft. Because I don't know, Matt, if you think that it's going to change how the players drop and fall. Like, if the quarterbacks end up going 1-2, I guess that kind of slides it down a little bit. But I don't expect Tunsil to drop or any of these other guys to drop. Do you expect now that to kind of change where the players are going to end up being? Like, do the Eagles have a shot at one of these guys that maybe you didn't think they had before?
Well, if they did, I don't think it would be because of the trade. So I guess that would be a no. If I'm parsing this question correctly, but yes. I don't really think that changed a lot. I do want to point out that the number 43 overall pick in the 2016 NFL draft will now have been used twice to replace Nick Foles. So I just want to put that out there.
There you go.
How y'all doing? So no, I don't really think it changes anything. I think if any of these guys were going to have fallen to us, you know, sort of serendipitously. And, you know, like I said last time, I guess you do have to wonder when a guy starts to tumble. But, you know, it would probably be because of, you know, Zeke's, you know, propensity for party drugs, or Joey Bosa's propensity for Zeke's party drugs, or... or
Joey Bosa!
Joey Bosa, yeah, I don't know. Or Miles Jack's knee, you know, that's another thing to be worried about. Or, you know, possibly something not checking off the field with Tunsil that we're not really privy to, but, you know, stuff like that, you know, maybe you have to think about that a little bit more, but I don't think that, I don't think this really changes anything. I mean, just realistically speaking, beforehand, you know, there's always going to be a quarterback going in before the Eagles picked, and probably two. And in fact, you might even look at it like nothing's really changed because somebody was bound to trade up for this pick anyway. So, I think just the fact that the Rams waited, you know, 2 full weeks before the draft announced that they were going to be the ones trading up, I don't really think that changes very much for me.
James, any thoughts on that? Actually, yeah, it's kind of interesting that, you know, you're hearing all these different reports on Miles Jack, which is still my favorite player in this draft regardless. But, you know, I'm starting to think that he could be the guy that maybe even bounces out of the first round type of worry. And I don't know if that's because of, I can't remember who said it today. It might have even been Adam Schefter. It's like people aren't sure if he's going to play 10 games or 10 years. So, or was that Bowen? I can't remember. I just remember it coming across my notifications somewhere today. So I apologize if I don't exactly know who that is. But regardless, you know, is he the guy he to me now is maybe off of a lot of boards, because I don't know if that's to try and get him to a certain team or not. Like, are they trying to make him fall to Philadelphia or farther down the line where he would fit better? I don't know. It is lying season. It is all that. But do you think that more or less might change a lot of things in how that falls in the top 10?
I mean, I think it would if that were the case, but I don't think that he's going to fall like that. I think, you know, we're hearing the red check and the knee and all that stuff. I think that, at least from what we've heard, it doesn't, you know, it appears like, at least it's kind of an interpretation thing, if nothing else, where I think that there will be teams high enough that will take a shot on him, because I'm like you, John. I think he is the best football player in this draft. Personally, if I had the number one overall pick, you know, take all the health stuff out of it. If I had the number one overall pick, I'd pick him. I don't care that he's just a linebacker, you know, in theory. I think he's an amazing football player and a smart football player. So I honestly don't think he's going to fall that far. If he falls to 8, sure, I would snatch him up. I'm not that worried about the knee. I think the Tunsil thing is interesting too, because, you know, Peterson, that was probably the most effusive outside of his Wentz love that he showed today. He was pretty clear saying that Laremy Tunsil is the best tackle in this draft, and you know, not equivocating, not like, oh, Stanley, you know, you assume that when Stanley's the one, they were be far more likely to get based on where they are if they were to get one. You know, he was like, oh, Stanley's good, he's exposed, blah, blah, blah. But then he goes and says Tunsil, he's clearly the best tackle in this draft, and didn't equivocate. So I thought that was interesting as well. But look, if a Tunsil, a Jack, or Jalen Ramsey, or someone like that falls because, A, the Rams move up to 1 and take Goff, and then someone trades into 2, hopefully not the Eagles, to take Wentz, yeah, I think things could change a little bit. But ultimately, you know, especially because, like, you know, you always see those teams, whether it's like, you know, the Raiders of years past or this or that or whatever, who might just, you know, be like, DeForest Buckner's our guy, we'd take him first or whatever it is. You know, I feel like there will be one pick in those top 7 where you're like, ah, shit, really? You know, where'd that come from? So I do think that will help. Yeah, exactly. Something like that. You know, sure, I could totally see it being them. So I do think that it will ultimately fall where at eight, there are guys on the board who you're happy with and maybe didn't expect possibly to be there. But either way, I think that, you know, going back to what you were saying before, John, about, you know, why it couldn't happen last year, I think that that's really the key and why I don't want the Eagles to trade up. I think that the reason that the Eagles couldn't trade up last year is because Mariota and Winston really were those generational type of quarterback talents. And every year we see guys overdrafted, whether it's Christian Ponder or Jake Locker or whoever it is, there are all these guys who always go higher than they should strictly because it's the most important position in the game and it's critical to fill it. And when you get that high in the draft, and that's what I worry about with the Eagles, looking at us like, we're at eight, we never picked this high, we got to find a way to get up or use what we can to get the guy. And I think that this year, I think that we're overrating these guys strictly because they are the best available.
Yeah.
And that's my worry.
Yeah. I agree with that for the most part. And how about this first scenario? This is Matt found this earlier today. Michael Fabiano. He's like, so how about this first scenario? Los Angeles goes Goff at one. Philly trades up for Wentz at two and then trades Bradford to San Francisco and Chip Kelly. Then San Francisco trades Kaepernick to Denver. Now that would be,
is that why Michael Fabiano is a fantasy guy and not a,
yes, exactly. And then there's some dude at the bottom who's like, yeah. And then Denver trades Sanchez to, the Jets, Fitzpatrick to the Bills. It's chaos. That would be interesting. I'd also be very pissed off. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like I'm very much how James feels about everything. I know we're not going to rehash this for the millionth time, but I just don't want them trading up for one of these quarterbacks. I think it's just a wasted effort. It doesn't matter how the Eagles feel about him. It's just not, in my opinion, it'd be an awful draft party if that happened. What's not awful though, and we're going to get into the schedule is finally released, but I want to remind everybody out there, that's the number one hottest app that is available on your phones right now is Clip It. It is literally live television in the palm of your hand, as you can scroll through anything that you're watching, say the NFL Network, if there's a flub, if there's an interesting thing that you want everybody to see, you can go back, you can clip a live 30-second HD clip and put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, wherever you are, watch it, clip it, share it. It is just that easy. What is not going to be easy, gentlemen, at least in my opinion, we're going to go over the schedule here. I'm not going to do the win-loss thing, but let's just start at the beginning. I don't think it's too bad. The Cleveland Browns opening day here, Matt, along with, then they travel to Chicago week two, Steelers at home, and then the bye week four, which is, I don't know. I hate the bye as a football fan that early. But what do you think of the first four games of this schedule here, Matt?
Oh, they're 4-0. No problem.
Done. Okay. 4-0.
Put it on the board. I mean, look, Cleveland, they have precious little going on for them, and they got rid of some of it, which was a very strange thing to have happen. Chicago.
Monday Night Football, by the way. Second game.
Yeah. And, I mean, we don't usually play that well at Soldier Field because nobody does, including the Bears. And that's going to be a tough one, and that one won't be very much fun for me personally because I live in Steelers country, so that will not be a fun time for me. I'll have people being randomly rude to me again. Which I never like. Luckily, it only comes once every 4 years. Last time I lived with the worst guy, he was the worst. He was the worst. Yeah. You ever meet those people who just yammer at you and you just say whatever?
Yes.
He was the worst. Yeah, he's just one of those guys just like, yeah, today I was at work and they made me do something. I'd be like, oh, you're a shithead, aren't you? And he'd be like, yeah. And then they had to do it. Man. Anyway, shouts to Matt something, who I lived with for a year. Then the Lions game.
Whoa.
Wait, who's on the Lions?
Hold on. We're just to the first 4 weeks here. What is?
Oh well, then they're sweeping the bye. That's the bye. They got the bags.
James, also kind of interesting. I think this is the first time in a long time where they have preseason with the Steelers and then also play them like 4 weeks after that. But what do you make of the first part of the schedule?
Well, John, the Steelers game's actually on my 35th birthday, so that's a guaranteed loss.
Hey! Yeah. There you go.
Sadly, that's a guaranteed loss, I'm sure, because, that's the way birthdays go. But no, John, I don't know. I'm not that high on this team. I think Like, I looked at, again, I'm not doing the, you know, win-loss, but it feels like a 6-7 win team to me. I know that the division's terrible, so, you know, could they win 8-9 games? Sure. I think, like, look, let me put it this way. When I look at the schedule, the Browns game is the only one I feel like I'm sure they'll win. And even then,
I don't know. I don't feel that.
No, look, I'm not saying it in the sense that, yes, there are other games that they'll win based on the schedule, the way things work out. They're, like I just said, I think there are 7, 8 win teams, 6 win teams, somewhere in there. My point is that I don't look at the schedule and look at the teams on it and look at each game and say, oh, the Eagles are better than that team. I mean, do you? They're probably better than the Bears, I guess, but like, but how much better? In Chicago, John Fox is a good coach. I mean, you know, I don't think it's an automatic win. Like, I just don't look at the schedule other than the Browns game and say, all right, they're much better than that team. Like, you know, sure, like I said, I think they'll win 6 or 7 games, but I can't look at the schedule and say, that's a win. You know, I can't. Where can you? What do you look at the schedule other than that Browns game and say they're much better than that team?
The 2 Washington games, I feel good about those.
Why? Washington swept them last year. Why would you think that they'd be better than Washington this year and Washington swept them last year?
Because it's an up and down division and it always happens, right? And they're going to go, like, you know, and Washington.
Right, but that's my point, John. That's what I'm saying.
Washington's
not
dropping, like, in the top 5 this year. That's why I feel that they're not going to get
improved. Sure, but I'm saying. But I'm saying they could beat Washington, sure. But my point, I'm saying, when you look at the schedule, other than that Browns game, just because they're the Browns, is there a game on that schedule where you say they're winning that, no matter what?
Both Giants games.
Yeah, they own the Giants, whatever.
I think the Falcons aren't going to be. I think they still, despite the hot
Falcons
start,
sucked last year and they lost to them last year,
right,
too.
There was
they?
A lot of moving. What people don't understand about last year is there's a lot of moving parts.
The thing about last year was that last year the Eagles sucked too.
Yes.
Right. And, but my point is they could suck again this year too. And even if, like,
what's the fun in that? What is the fun in that? I'm just saying.
My,
like,
point is just more that I don't think it's a great, you know, it's like, sure, they could win 8 games, 9 games, sure. I can't look at the schedule right now and say they're beating that team other than Cleveland.
I think that this what I think throughout this entire thing, and, like, look, we're going to go through the whole schedule. The only crux of, like, oh shit, is the last 3 games or the last 2 games in November, and then you have Cincinnati starting off that next Sunday. So the Seahawks, Packers, and Bengals, I think literally everybody has said that. So you go from a late game to a Monday night game to an early game, all on short weeks. That's going to be, yeah, West Coast to East Coast to the Midwest is not a good combination there. But everything else I don't think is outlandish. You know, I think the Steelers, early, sure, that could cause a problem. The Vikings a little later on in the season, you know, almost midway. Whatever, you got 2 division games after that, then the Falcons. I think this, to me, Matt, I think that the defense is just still so underrated that I see 9 wins here. 9 potential games that I would feel comfortable saying this team should be at least 9-7. Again, so I don't, do you feel that way even before the draft, or are you just kind of like, whatever, we'll have to just wait and see?
No, I agree. I think that this team is really poised. You know, I think what they need is they need some stupid luck and they need some competent coaching. Because let's be honest, this was not a well-coached team last year at all. And I really think that the coaching, you know, cost them a few games, like a lot of games, like the games where they randomly put up 1 point somehow. You know, those are the types of games that, you know, you just really think, like, Jesus Christ, like, who is coaching this thing? So I think you come in here, and even if Doug is just a guy, even if Doug is just like a guy and they cut to him on the sideline and he's eating a salad and he looks scared, like, I think that, you know, you're thinking about, like, this is going to be like a real football team. Suddenly they might not suck so bad. And I think you combine that with the fact that this is a team that's like, this team is stacked up front, man, like stacked. I don't know that they have the edge rushers, but I think that, like, you don't find a guy like Fletcher Cox that you pair with 2 guys like Vinny Curry and Brandon Graham. You know, you add in a guy like Benny Logan, you add in a guy like Michael Kendricks, who I think could be kind of fun if Jim Schwartz decides he wants to go that way. And I think that, you know, what you're looking at here is this defense could, like, really go off. You know, they made a lot of changes in that back end. They've got, like, You know, they, well, I guess Carroll's back. He'll probably be starting. You know, Rowe's going to be a second year in the league. I think that the defense could really help carry them a few places. I don't know ultimately what that's going to really, end up with, especially if the offense, you know, can't produce, you know, if they're only 10% better. And I really think they should probably be closer to like 25% better. I don't think that's too much to ask at all, especially given some of the piss poor performances we saw last year. But I think that, you know, this defense could really help carry this team to some wins. And, yeah, you know, I would agree. I would think that 9 wins could definitely be within their reach. You know, if you're talking about like them going up against like low scoring teams, you know, like the Vikings or, you know, even the Seahawks, they struggled at times last year. You know, they got the Ravens on their schedule. I don't know. And then the Bears, like, I don't know what Bears team you were watching last year, James, but I don't think the Bears are anything.
No, I think they're terrible. But
and you said John Fox is a good coach. That's taking it out of your mouth.
Oh, I disagree. I think what he did with Tebow that year was really impressive.
That's the only thing that holds on. That's the only thing that everybody holds on to. He choked so much.
Remember those Jake DeLome biscuit commercials? Those were pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's overrated. I think the John Fox hate is overrated. But regardless, my point is not that. Sure, they're probably a better football team than the Bears. My point is, you could say without a shadow of a doubt, based on what we saw last season and based on who's running this team and what we know about Doug Peterson as head coach, which is fucking zero, you're going to tell me that they can go into Chicago on a Monday night, the second game of the season, and it's a lock. That's fucking stupid. It's stupid. I'm sorry. My point is not that.
That's
my point. I'm not saying that.
I'm gonna put all of my substantial wealth on the.
That was my point, guys. My point was that sure they could win.
Who the hell can lock any of it in April?
All I said was when I look at the schedule, the only game that I feel really confident about is the Cleveland game. You disagree with that?
No.
That's it. That's all I'm saying. That's my point, is that you look at the schedule, I think they could lose to every single team on that schedule other than the Browns. And you could lose to anyone in the NFL, but I'm just saying that I don't think you can't look at the schedule and be like, win, loss. I think they could easily lose to the Bears on a Monday night in Chicago.
Yeah, no, I think they could too, because like Matt was saying, they have a terrible time there. It's been, especially on a Monday or Sunday.
Because the Eagles aren't a good football team. Like, why? Where did this?
Because
happen?
The defense, like, James. That's what my whole point is. What we just went through. We said we think people are underrating the defense of this team, and I think the way Schwartz performs, especially against a very stale Chicago Bears offense, a very stale one, would be able to carry them through a lot of these games, including Detroit, including Minnesota, whose offense is fucking anemic at times, who's, you know, against the Giants, who are begging to be turned over against, you know, a lot of these things. That's what I'm saying. Like, I look at a lot of these other than Green Bay, which right now I will say April 18th at 10:38, the Eagles will beat the Packers just because everybody expects them to lose. That's the game they're going to win. That's the Patriots game of this year, and they could be fucking 7-9 walking into it, or whatever. I don't even can't do math or count the weeks right now, but I think that they play. Look, it's the seventh easiest schedule in the NFL. So
that's meaningless. Are you kidding me? You can't say it's easy. We don't know what any of these
according,
teams are
going to be. According to the powers that be, it's the seventh easiest schedule.
The powers that be can, you know, suck me.
Well, how many play? Look, they're playing.
The powers that be. It's based on scale. But the point is, how much have these teams changed from last year? Who in football? It's like, how many times have we seen a team? The Panthers were 7-8-1. People were probably like, the year before, people were like, all right, they got the Panthers on the schedule. That's a good thing to have. And then they were 15-1. You know, I mean, the point is you can't say, like, I think it's silly to look at a schedule now and say this is the seventh easiest schedule.
Based on last year's play, exactly. Well, what's the point of having any fun then, James? Turn off the pod, Jesus, God Almighty. Well, with that argument, I'm saying, well, here's the lock: the fucking Eagles won't cover the 7.5 in Cleveland, which will start our first of the year, I guess, in the offseason. Let's ring the bell.
Hit me.
It's time to ring the bell and place some bets.
Hey, I don't want your money punching my money.
Here come our NFL picks.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar.
And of course, just as we were saying, we are going to ring the bell. This is brought to you by fightingforphilly.com. Once again, everybody that's listening out there, all you have to do, Fighting for Philly, no G, BGNR20, BGNR20, 20% off of any purchase. That's hats, that's apparel, over at our new sponsor at fightingforphilly.com. Let's start there, gentlemen. It's never too early to bet. Cleveland, Philadelphia, home opener, James, 7.5 in April. who are you taking in this one?
Give me those Cleveland Browns on Bleeding Browns Radio, baby! RG3 throws for 300 and runs for 200.
Wow, Matt, 7.5 for Birds opening week.
I don't know if they'll be able to cover a spread that big. Is that the biggest one?
That is the biggest one. Oh, no, it ties Kansas City and San Diego.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just have a hard time thinking I don't know. I think they could easily win the game, but I do not know if they would be able. I mean, who knows? If it's a 3-10 game, a 10-3 game, which could very easily be. I sound like James right now. I'm being such a James. I don't know. I guess I would have to take the Browns to cover. But the Browns aren't going to win. Give me a break.
Yeah, I'll take the Browns to cover and the Eagles to win. In honor of our old friend Mike Kay, we've got Jacksonville opening up their season against Green Bay as Aaron Rodgers comes down. They are Green Bay's 4.5 point favorites, 4-4.5. Who are you taking in that one, Mr. Daring?
Give me Green Bay. I mean, come on, Jacksonville. Like, am I supposed to take them seriously? You know? They've got, like, everyone's, like, going on about their, like, great offensive weapons, you know, and, like, garbage time Kings numbers 1-4 of last year. Like, give me a break. You know, Green Bay, that's a real football team. You know, Jacksonville is just, like, a team of people have all been yelled at by the same guy.
I'll take Green Bay over Jacksonville and the points, James.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think I'm going to take the points as well. I like what they're doing down there.
Yeah. All right.
That was tongue in cheek. I think we know. Right?
Yes, of course, of course, of course. Let's go visit our old friend Chip Kelly, because this is probably, I think, one of the tightest matchups of week one this far out in April, as the new rebirth of the, Jesus, look at this. Vegas Insider has it still as St. Louis, and that's they need to be fired immediately. The Los Angeles Rams.
Wow, that's a violation, man.
Yes, the Los Angeles Rams. This opened as a 1-point favorite for the Rams against Chip Kelly's new San Francisco 49ers. It has now moved to 2-2.5 for the Rams. And who knows, it might be Golf versus Bradford at that point. But James, who are you taking, San Francisco versus Los Angeles?
Wow. That's an ugly, ugly week one matchup there. Screw it. Let's go, Chip.
Chip for the win.
Why not? Why not?
And everybody will freak out and say we should have kept, and the Eagles will lose to the Browns, and it'll be a great fiasco. Matt, who are you taking in that one? Rams by 2.5.
Boy, does anybody have a worse roster than San Francisco? Can you think of anybody off the top of your head that, like, you're just, like, top to bottom, you're just like, Jesus. Like, who in San Francisco catches the ball? You know, Carlos Hyde runs the ball. Who throws the ball?
Blaine Gabbert to Torrey Smith.
Yeah, what are they going to do with, like, I mean, they've got, what's his name? Reed from a few years ago. But, you know, they just are going to, like, they've got nobody on the back end.
Eric Reed,
and then they just drafted Jakuski Tart, and you know Chip's gonna hate him. Like, I don't know. You know, you're just thinking about who's gonna cover the back end, who's gonna stop anything on that team. You know, it's just gonna be Navarro Bowman versus Todd Gurley, and I gotta figure that Todd Gurley will get the best of him sometimes. So, you know, to me, you gotta take St. Louis. They're only 2-point favorites. Yeah. Just, I got to take St. Louis. The artist formerly known as St. Louis.
Yes, there you go. There you go.
All right, Matt's convinced me. I'm taking the St. Louis Rams.
I guess then I would ring the bell because I'm a chip bot, right? I guess that's how I have to ring the bell. I'm going to say San Francisco squeezes one out. And that's probably like one of One of one wins on the season for the 49ers, something like that.
And then Chip gets Deshaun Watson and builds an empire in San Francisco.
There you go.
Shit.
That's, there it is. And $70 million in cap room or whatever the hell they're dealing with over there. Well,
can you imagine? Real quick. Can you imagine if he ended up with Deshaun Watson out there?
I think everybody would just. Depending. Who knows? He might be fired after this year too. He might not even get a chance to.
Truth.
If you believe all the whatever else is going on, he's upset with Baalke or all the other dumb rumors that are kind of floating around here. It's lying season, so that's my final thought here. Be protective. Overreact if you want to, because it's okay. Because there's nothing going on right now, and. Have a little fun with it. Just don't get too carried away. I'm very excited to see every single one of you at the draft party. I know Sean is over at Philly Influencer as well. Like I said, the draft party t-shirts, we're going to extend that until Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern. So if you didn't get a chance to get one of those, definitely do. If you're not going to be at the party, it's okay. We ship those out too. It'll just take a little longer to probably get to you, but they're well worth it. The guys over at ATLS Apparel have done a fantastic job of putting these together. Matt, final thoughts from you, sir.
I bet Deshaun Watson won't be the first quarterback drafted next year.
Whoa. Is he thinking Dobbs?
Whoa.
I would think my pick right now would be Brad Kaya.
Wow. All right. Brad Kaya. Yeah. Stick that in your... under your hat. James, any final thoughts, pal?
Yeah, this was fun. I got a little fiery. I enjoyed it. Thank you for letting me get fiery, fellas. As I said, the Eagles will go 1-15 and get Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Oh, wait. I mean the Niners. Sorry.
Man, I would love that. Real quick.
I would be so in. Seriously, I will give up a year for Deshaun Watson. In a second.
If you draft Zeke at 8 and go 1-15, I will tell you this right now. I will tattoo whatever you want on my chest for the rest of my life. Honestly. Howie, if you are listening to this, Zeke at 8, Deshaun Watson won in 2017. Whatever you want. I'll be a walking billboard for the rest of my life if that happens. So I want to thank everybody for listening to episode number 159. If you have any complaints, just tweet us at Brandon Gauton, and he can handle all of that. For those that you that like the pod, please rate, subscribe, review wherever you're listening. SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, if you have the podcatcher app of any sort, the RSS feed is easily found on the SoundCloud, or just message one of us at John Barchard, at James Zeltzer 975, and at Oh Wow Hmm. You can find us there on Twitter. Thanks again. We'll catch you right here on BleedingGreenNation.com.
You've been listening to BGN Radio right here on BleedingGreenNation.com. Fueled by Duncan Philly and part of the Liberty Broadcast Network.
Folks, we have now reached our final destination of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We realize you have a choice in podcast, and we thank you for choosing ours.